into the His Hardline podcast, where we ignite independent and accurate thought, break the chains and shackles of mental bondage, challenge societal norms, and traverse through the timeless teachings of our Heavenly Father. Join us as we liberate minds and embrace the power of the Great Awakening while embracing true sovereignty. Welcome to the show.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Thank you for tuning into the His Hardline podcast. And if you want to find more shows like this, along with our social media links, you can find all that at hishardline.com. That's www.hishardline.com. I am Jason, your co-host, with our Sovereign Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, at my side, because he is the host with the most and the most high. He's at the helm, behind the wheel, and in that captain's chair, steering this great ship of ours through these crazy rough waters and this storm that we call life. So welcome to His Hard Line. Today's show is EDU, which stands for Education, EDU Lesson Number 7, Liberty and Independence. We'll be doing a reading out of Field Manual 2000-25, continuing on with the 12 lessons. Today is Lesson 7, but we will be doing a reading out of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. And daily disclaimer, I want to clarify that while I serve as a lawful and honorable member of the Michigan General Jural Assembly in good lawful standing, my expertise does not extend to being a licensed doctor, holistic health expert, financial advisor, biblical scholar, or bar lawyer, and additionally, I am not the official face or voice of the national state or County General Jural Assembly. And remember, I do not advocate for violence unless it's in self-defense of you and your family and those around you. And please note that the opinions, thoughts, and statements expressed on this platform are solely my own and for educational and entertainment purposes only. So, I want to go over a quote, a very powerful quote, regarding independence and liberty, which comes from Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers of the United States and the principal author of the Declaration of Independence. So he famously wrote, "Independence is the recognition of the fact that yours is the responsibility of judgment and nothing can help you escape it. That no substitute can do your thinking as no pinch hitter can live your life. That the vilest form of self-abasement and self-destruction is the subordination of your mind to the mind of another, the acceptance of an authority over your brain, the acceptance of his assertions as facts, his say-so as truth, his edicts as middleman between your consciousness and your existence." Wow. Thomas Jefferson is expressing here the idea that true independence involves taking responsibility for your own thoughts and your own judgments. He emphasizes the importance of individual autonomy in critical thinking, rejecting any form of subservience to the authority or opinions of others. Now, sadly, there's a significant portion of people out there in this population here in this country that still struggle to think for themselves. Or maybe they don't struggle, maybe they just outright refuse to. I don't know. But while it's evident that mainstream media cannot be fully trusted, it did show a positive sign to see that many people moved away from it. However, that void was filled by independent influencers in the so-called alt media, in alternative media, right? And so the concept of thinking independently still seems to be distant for many, as they often fall for the influence of independent media personalities and so-called truthers in the truther movement, which, again, I use that term loosely. See, this movement, in essence, extends the influence of mainstream media, which is often manipulated by entities like the CIA. And despite believing they're, you know, that they are thinking for themselves by consuming independent media, many individuals fail to exercise discernment and critical thinking to distinguish fact from fiction. And so Jefferson warns against allowing others to dictate beliefs or decisions, as it undermines personal agency and self-respect, right? He also highlights the danger of blindly accepting assertions and commands without questioning it, noting the risk of losing control over one's own mind and actions. Nobody questions anything anymore. But that's what we're supposed to do. This phenomenon is prevalent on social media, where many people blindly follow influencers and parrot their messages while conducting, you know, without conducting thorough research on their own or considering their affiliations. Well, Jason, I've heard you parrot stuff from other people that now you don't listen to. That's right. And I would be a hypocrite if I said that I didn't do that at one time in the past. Quote, or I shouldn't say quote, but take note to the key word there, the past, because I certainly did. But this is one of the many reasons why I stopped listening to all those influencers and truthers out there, because I started realizing and seeing through the veil and started, you know, connecting dots and realized all the inconsistencies and the BS that they were pushing. I started realizing who their affiliations were. I started seeing who they really were. Overall, Jefferson's quote here champions the value of intellectual freedom, self-reliance, the pursuit of truth through independent thought and judgment. That's what this platform is encouraging and, you know, pushing over here. Critical independent thought. It serves as a reminder of the inherent dignity and responsibility that comes with being an autonomous individual man or woman here in America. Now, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, talks about obedience to authority. Speaking of authority, it reads, "Let every person be subordinate to the higher authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority opposes what God has appointed, and those who oppose it will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear to good conduct, but to evil. Do not wish to have no fear or authority, or do you wish to have no fear or authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive approval from it. For it is a servant of God for your good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword without purpose. It is the servant of God to inflict wrath on the evildoer. Therefore, it is necessary to be subject not only because of the wrath, but also because of conscience. And this is why you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, devoting themselves to the very thing. Pay to all their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, toll to whom toll is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due." That is the reading of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. So, what's the main takeaway here? Well, it would seem like it emphasizes the importance of obedience and authority, right? Based on what we just read here. It begins by stating that all people should be subordinate to a higher authority because these authorities are established by God. And resisting authority is seen as opposing God's appointment and invites judgment. And so this passage emphasizes that rulers are meant to promote good conduct and are servants of God for the well-being of society. And so it continues to encourage men and women to do what is good to receive approval from authority while warning against wrongdoing, which will incur punishment. Obedience to authority is not just motivated by fear of punishment, but also by conscience, as it is considered a duty to God. Now, additionally, this passage emphasizes the obligation to fulfill civic duties, such as paying taxes and showing respect as a recognition to the, you know, of the authority's role as ministers of God. And overall, the passage underscores the concept of obedience to authority as a reflection of obedience to God and a means of promoting order and righteousness in society. Now, in addition to this, I also want to highlight that having obedience to an illegitimate governing authority and blindly following a tyrannical and oppressive authority is not in line with biblical principles. Now, while this passage stresses obedience to authority, it does not condone submission to unjust or tyrannical rule. See, a governing authority that oppresses its people and acts contrary to the principles of justice and righteousness is not commissioned by God. Therefore, it is incumbent upon individuals to discern between legitimate authority and unjust tyranny and to resist oppression in accordance with moral and ethical standards. See, people will read this and be like, well, I'm not paying taxes. This is theft. And while I will agree with you, I would also say that this passage mentions, like I said, the obligation of paying taxes and fulfilling civic duties. It does not justify, though, okay, it does not, I repeat, does not justify unjust or excessive taxation without representation. While certain taxes, yes, I said it, certain taxes are necessary for the functioning of society, in addition to tariffs, right? Tariffs that are imposed on foreign countries for foreign goods that are imported. Because once upon a time, this nation was funded through tariffs alone. But while taxes are necessary for the functioning of a society, excessive or unjust taxation, especially without adequate representation, can be considered a form of financial oppression. For instance, while paying a fair and equitable flat sales tax seems to be pretty reasonable, being subjected to an annual property taxes or income taxes that disproportionately burden people can be seen as unjust and akin to theft, and it is. It's crucial to also uphold the principles of fairness and equity in taxation, ensuring that financial obligations to the government are justly imposed and fairly distributed among the populace. Now, let's get into the reading of Lesson 7, Liberty and Independence from the Field Manual 2000-25. Again, this was a field training manual released by the War Department to the Army back in 1928. Lesson number 7, again, this was prepared under the direction of the Chief of Staff, authored by Harry Atwood. And yes, it is permissioned and given, you know, courtesy of the author to share this. So section 7, lesson number 7, Liberty and Independence. So a little historical background. Now, the historical background of liberty and independence is the story of the human race in every stage of its development and in every corner of the earth. It is told in the ages-old pyramids of Egypt and built upon the backs of human slaves, that in the philosophies of Plato and Socrates and uncovered in the catacombs of Rome. In the German forest, it was planted deep in the hearts of the Saxon and Norman, and there, given its first real semblance of form, England, in the days of the Saxon and Norman conquest, in the time of Cromwell and Elizabeth, laid a still broader foundation upon which to build a structure of self-government. Now, slowly, there was evolved an appreciation of government, incorporation of the insights of individuals into fixed laws and practices, yet there remained the iron heel of government to crush those whose demand for independence and liberty exceeded that granted by the will of the ruling king or parliament. Section 104 in Lesson 7, Slow Development of Necessary Knowledge. It remained, however, a work still to be accomplished at the time of the first settlements in America, where in the next 150 years, slow progress was to be made in developing the necessary knowledge upon which liberty and independence could safely rest. Section 105. The Declaration of Independence, a protest. The Declaration of Independence was a protest against the abridgment of such rights as the colonists claimed as subjects of the British Crown. Their anger was directed against Parliament rather than the King, because restrictions were placed by law upon the colonists which were not imposed upon citizens of Great Britain residing in the mother country. Now, these operated solely for the benefit of the long-established home government and institutions. Spurred by the spirit of independence and engendered through the bitter experiences and necessary self-reliance acquired in their century and a half battle to conquer the American wilderness, and fired by the indignities and injustice to which they had long been compelled to submit, they threw off the yoke of oppression and set up a government that would forever guard them against tyranny, however it might seek to impose its will. Now, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary, okay, now this is from the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind require that they should declare the causes which impanel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in the support of this declaration, we affirm reliance on the protection of divine providence, what we mutually pledge to each other's lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Now, no man sought or wished for more than to defend his own. None hoped to plunder or spoil, and we all know that it could not have lived a single day under any well-founded imputation of passion. And that was a quote by Webster. Now, independence of the colonies. The great American colonies did not become free and independent until they were strong enough to throw off the yoke of the oppressor, strong enough to set up and control their own government through the voice of the people, strong enough to protect and defend their own country from aggression, whether from within or without. See, folks, I'm going to pause here for a minute. This is what we do with the reassembly of states, okay? Because the reassembly of the General Assembly creates the strong voice of the people. And until that voice is strong enough, we cannot throw off the yoke of this current oppressor. We need to be strong enough to protect and defend our own country at this time in history from the aggression from within. And believe me, this enemy that we are dealing with currently, actively in 2024, is from within and always has been from within. Continuing on with the reading. Now, the enemies within, who would make the Declaration of Independence a mockery, play one group of Americans against another. Sound familiar? They fan the flames of prejudice. They magnify fancied evils of injustices to the ignorant. They distort its language to suit their own ends so cleverly that many of the less informed follow them in the name of Americanism. Every American citizen must be constantly on guard if the principles set forth in the Declaration of Independence are to survive. Now, again, I want to pause here for a second. Think about that. They distort its language to suit their own ends so cleverly that many of the less informed follow them in the name of Americanism. They fan the flames of prejudice. They magnify fancied evils of injustices to the ignorant. Think about it. Do you not see this happen today, ladies and gentlemen? I do. Section 106, liberty defined. There are two kinds of liberty. Absolute liberty, which is that of the savage, in which any individual may act as he pleases, and civil liberty, and that of civilized community, in which human actions are regulated by the law for the good of all, subject only to such restraints as a solemn and tolerant judgment determines to be essential. Now, political liberty is none other than natural liberty so far restrained by human laws and no further, as is necessary and expedient for the general advantage of the public. That was by Blackstone. Now, liberty does not free the people from the necessity of control, but it places a heavy burden of responsibility upon the individual for self-control. It is not licensed to do as one pleases, though through developed intelligence, man has power to control his baser and more selfish instincts, compelling their exercise and restriction in their interest of society. Minority control exercises its will until such time as general intelligence becomes sufficiently informed to establish an order of society with a larger and more even distribution of benefit to all. And the law of will, or force, is supplanted by the law of reason. Now, as defined in the preamble of the Constitution, liberty is the absence of arbitrary human restraint upon personal conduct other than those imposed by the authority of just laws, obedience to which is an essential part of it. Now, as far as fundamental law, the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are beyond the rights of any government to legally usurp or infringe. And to secure this liberty is the main business of governments and the reason for their institution. Now, if they fail in this, they have failed in all. Now, these principles were written by our fathers into the Constitution of the government for the first time in human history when they wrote the Constitution and it became the fundamental law of a new nation dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal and that the government derives its just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, what is meant by equality when we discuss equality? Well, equality is clearly defined by Lincoln in his debate with Douglas. In responding to Douglas's question, well, what do you mean all men are created equal? Well, here's what Lincoln replied. I think that authors of the Notable Instrument intended to include all men, but they did not intend to declare all men equal in all respects. They did not mean to say all were equal in color, size, intellect, moral development, or social capacity. They defined with tolerable distinctness in what respect they consider all men created equal with certain inalienable rights, among these which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now this, they said, and they did not mean to assert the obvious untruth that all were then actually enjoying that equality, nor yet that they were about to confer it immediately upon them. In fact, they had no power to confer such a boon, and they simply meant to declare the right so that the enforcement of it might follow as fast as circumstances should permit. Section 107, personal liberty. Now, freedom of action. Every citizen is on equal footing as to privileges and opportunity. Any denial of such rights result from either the limited ability of the individual to take full advantage of opportunity or, because of prejudices in no way a part of the ruling law of our land, now born free citizens or acquiring that right through naturalization. And we have full freedom of action and without infringement upon the rights of others to reside or travel at home or abroad under the protection and with all privileges accorded by the government. Our government, regardless of race, color, religion, or social station. A full opportunity is here given to every citizen to work out his own ideals and ideas. To the native born, this privilege is accepted as a matter of no great significance, for he is wholly unfamiliar with the laws, traditions, and customs that direct and restrict individual action of citizens in foreign countries. Now, the American citizen frequently changes his occupation. His very liberty keeps him on the alert for an opportunity to better his financial and social status, and the change is one of occupation, not of personality, and his pride and self-respect are not involved. Section 108, religious liberty. Now, no greater liberty was ever conferred on a people than that of freedom to worship according to the dictates of one's own conscience. The First Amendment to the Constitution declares that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibit the free exercise thereof. All persons have the privilege to entertain any religious belief. Any religious belief. Just lost my spot here. My apologies. Where did I leave off at? Something happened on my computer here, and I do apologize. Oh, where are we at? Where are we at? Where are we at? My apologies for this. I accidentally somehow hit a key on my keyboard. Had a little foible here, and all of a sudden made a bunch of spaces in my notes. All right, we're just going to start here right at the top. There are two kinds of liberty. Absolute liberty. Now, that of the savage, in which the individual may act as he pleases. Well, I already read that part. Hold on. There we go. Let's go back down here. I think I know where we need to go. All right. We'll just start right here. Liberty does not free the people from necessity. Ah, here we go. I believe this is where we need to be. Political liberty is no other than natural liberty, so far restrained by human laws and no further, as is necessary and expedient for the general advantage of the public. Now, liberty does not free people from the necessity of control, but it places a heavy burden of responsibility upon the individual for self-control. It is not licensed to do as one pleases. I believe I already said all that. Let's see here. Then we got the fundamental law. Did I read this? Yes. Equality. I already read that. Yes. Okay. Sorry about this, guys. This is very embarrassing, but it does happen. Okay. Already read the quote from Lincoln. All right. We'll just get right here. Personal liberty. I believe we got down to here. Okay. We're just going to start back at the top there with, that's right. We were at religious liberty. So no greater liberty was ever conferred on a people than that of freedom to worship according to one's own dictates of one's own conscience. The First Amendment of the Constitution declares that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibit a free exercise thereof. All persons have the privilege to entertain any religious belief, practice, or religious rite, teach any religious doctrine which is not subversive of morality and does not interfere with the personal rights of others. That's a key word right there. Does not interfere with the personal rights of others. However, this liberty cannot be invoked as a protection against legislation for the punishment of acts inimical to the peace of good order and morals of society, because professed doctrines of religious beliefs are not superior to the law of the land. No person is permitted to become a law unto himself, nor may he, in the name of religion or through a religious ceremony, violate the law. Now, religious liberty does not include the right to introduce and carry out every scheme or purpose which person sees fit to claim as a part of their religious system. Now, while there is no legal authority to constrain belief, no one can lawfully stretch his own liberty of action so as to interfere with that of his neighbors or violate peace or good order. Now, the United States Supreme Court laws are made for the government of actions, and while they cannot interfere with the mere religious beliefs and opinions, they may with practices. Now, the United States Supreme Court, talking about the separation of church and state, the separation of church and state is a fundamental principle of American government. Now, neither is permitted to dictate to or exercise power over the other. In no other way can religious liberty be preserved. Now, religion and national defense. There is no place for the doctrine of non-cooperation. Religious beliefs will not excuse any citizen from rendering service in the defense of the country, although Congress has power at its discretion to exempt him. Now, Section 109, freedom of speech and press. Now, the right to act and think and speak, to print, is the surest way to protect the liberties and continue to full measure of independence, which America so richly possesses. In these rights lie the means of creating a public opinion representative of the entire nation. Now, this liberty is indispensable to further social, economic, and political development, and clash of opinions creates interest and thought on all public questions. A realization of the force of public opinion expressed by the ballot awakens a sense of responsibility that compels the best minds to give careful study to any subject that vitally concerns our nation. Now, through the present means of communication, the people are daily informed in every matter of national or international importance. And then you got abuses. Now, the privilege does not permit the publication of libels or other matter injurious to public morals or private reputation. And like all liberties granted under the broad principles of the Constitution, these rights are abused to the detriment of the best interest of the people. With propaganda floods our country from every conceivable source, and active and vociferous agencies have been organized for the express purpose of advancing doctrines absolutely not in accord with the fixed principles of our nation. In the most persistent manner, they seek to tear down rather than to build, to destroy rather than improve. I'm going to step away from this for a second. It kind of sounds like Operation Mockingbird with the media that was put on by the CIA. You think it's a coincidence that the CIA headquarters is stationed right next to Hollywood? I mean, come on, guys. Think about it. They use Hollywood as a propaganda machine. Continuing on, one of their most subtly dangerous features is that it is so camouflaged as to make it appear to have an innocent purpose. To prevent such activities during the World War, Congress found it necessary to pass the Espionage Act of 1917 for the safety of the state and the successful outcome of the struggle. We carefully supervise every agency whose business may in any degree affect the physical health of our people. Equal care should be exercised over all agencies which in any manner may affect our social, economic, and political life. Now, restriction of abuses. There is no law in any state or nation that prohibits freedom of speech or press, but there are laws against the abuse of this right. Restrictions may be necessary for the preservation of public order and the protection of the state. And while Congress is forbidden by the Constitution to abridge the freedom of speech or the press, the punishment of those who violate every principle of loyalty and patriotism modifies in no manner the constitutional provision. And the law punishes because of the crime against the country and its people and its citizens. And the First Amendment cannot have been, and obviously was not, intended to give immunity for every possible use of language. That was a quote by Justice Holmes. Blackstone's maxims, which help to interpret the present limitation on speech and press. Number one, between public and private rights, the public rights must prevail. Number two, liberty to all, but preference to none. And number three, those offenses should be most severely punished, which are most difficult to guard against. Section number 110, economic liberty. Now, property rights, safeguarded under no other government, are property rights of the individual, so provided with safeguards with full protection. A property is at the base of civilization. Without incentive of right to its own private possessions and full protection against the confiscation, no progress would be made in material betterment. Now, economic liberty, the power of initiative, and the protection of property rights have developed a philosophy of life peculiar to America, the dignity of work. Every American is expected to be a worker. And based upon the constitutional assurance of the security of property, finance, and labor have joined in the creation of industry, making America the richest nation in the world. Her wealth has been distributed to the enrichment of her entire population. Section 111. Political liberty. Now, equal participation. The list of public office holders in city, state, or nation reveals the measures of political liberty granted in America. There are found representatives of practically every race in the world, and they have been elected by the people as their able and honorable representatives. Every citizen enjoys the protection and benefits of our municipal, state, and national governments, and any suggestion of racial and religious differences is frowned upon. It is in the sincere wish of the majority that tolerance and understanding weld our people of all nationalities into a social, economic, and political unity for the purpose of developing a strong national character and a race of men and women whose ideals and attainments shall be an inspiration and help to the peoples of all the earth. Now, the greatest degree of political liberty is secured by wise laws properly enforced. Anarchy destroys liberty because it is lawlessness and confusion and utter disregard of all government. Last section, section 112, safeguards to our liberties. Now, by clinging to the ideas and ideals which animated the framers of the Declaration of Independence, we can assure that not only peace within, but national security and respect from other nations. And when we fail to adequately comprehend the principles incident to our government, its fundamental ideals, which have made our government, the United States of America, faces anarchy and destruction. Now, let our object be our country, our whole country, and nothing but our country, and by the blessing of God, may that country itself become a vast and splendid monument, not of oppression and terror, but of wisdom, of peace, and of liberty, upon which the world may gaze with admiration forever. And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, was a quote by Webster. So, that would be the whole reading from Lesson 7, from the Field Training Manual. So what we're going to do is we're going to close this out. But before we close this out, I hope, again, you guys go back and listen to the other six lessons. All right, there's a lot of good wisdom and lessons in all of this. Okay? And there is a reason why I'm reading all this, because we're just going to say it's going to become more evident and apparent in more obvious forms here in the near future. So with that, I'm going to close this out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts overflowing with gratitude for the countless blessings that you've bestowed upon our nation. And we thank you for the freedoms and opportunities that we enjoy, and for the abundance of resources and the resilience and strength of our people. Lord, we recognize that we have strayed from your path and have allowed corruption and injustice to take root in our government and society. And we acknowledge our failures and shortcomings, and we humbly ask for your forgiveness and guidance as we seek to right the wrongs of our past. We are grateful for the opportunity that you have given us to turn back to you, to seek your wisdom and guidance in restoring this land to its rightful place as a beacon of freedom and righteousness. And we thank you for the courage and conviction to stand up against tyranny and corruption, and for the hope and determination to create a better future for ourselves and for our future generations. Father, we ask for your strength and guidance as we work to eliminate all forms of tyranny and treason from our government and institutions, which have taken the form of corporations, and we pray for the wisdom and discernment to elect leaders who uphold justice, righteousness, and the principles of freedom and self-governance. Lastly, Father, we thank you for giving us this last opportunity to make things right, to heal our land, and to restore the principles of freedom and justice for all. And may your grace and mercy continue to shine upon us as we journey forward in faith and obedience to your will. In your Son's name, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. And as we always say here at His Hard Line, we are firm. We are steadfast. We are uncompromising. We will not allow the enemy to ever cross this line again. Why? Because it is our duty to hold that line. We need to toe the line, for the enemy seeks to lure us into apathy, complacency, fear, doubt, anxiety, and hopelessness. The enemy aims to keep us enslaved mentally, hindering our progress towards self-mastery and self-governance. And it wants to destroy our self-procured relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. We need to remain vigilant, ladies and gentlemen. We need to remain resolute in our commitment to holding this line. There's no other way to say it. There's no other way to put it. It's always a pleasure and an honor to serve you here at His Hard Line, where we are people-focused and driven by the calling to serving you, commissioned to me by our Heavenly Father. God bless, ladies and gentlemen, and we will catch up with you next time on Lesson 8.
To find more shows like this, you can visit hishardline.com. And to learn more about your involvement with your local General Assembly, you can visit national-assembly.net. His Hardline Podcast. Please exercise caution regarding any organization purporting to be an assembly and claiming similar objectives, such as the American States Assembly, National Liberty Alliance, Life Force, Beacon 37, RUSA Tactical Civics, or any entity diverging from the officially recognized Michigan model acknowledged by 7 countries and the United States military. Furthermore, it's important to clarify that we do not endorse or recognize status corrections.